Absolutely wonderful time remembering the Lord, didn't we? It's always humbling to think of the Lord's work and what He has done and that it's all about Him. We come together and we give Him the honor and we give Him the glory and we just enjoy being in His presence and being around Him with other believers. And we look around the room and we look at ourselves and we're imperfect. But we're saved by His grace. Yeah. So for a few moments this morning, let's turn to Isaiah 61 and a couple of other verses. But what I'd like to ponder this morning here is what I would call a prayer for the brokenhearted. A prayer for the brokenhearted. We live in a time that is probably the same as many other times and eras that have existed. But no matter where we look, there are people with needs. There are people who are suffering. And there are people who need the Lord. So let me read the words of the prophet Isaiah. These first few verses here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So the brokenhearted and the work of the Lord Jesus, you we'll recognize these words, of course, these opening words, as those which the Lord Himself cited, part of this passage. We may look at that too in a moment. But in Nazareth, He came into the temple. Let's go ahead and turn there, just to see the connection, Luke 4. And to read a few preceding verses, Luke 4, verse 14. And remember those words, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So in verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in Galilee, and a report went out throughout all the surrounding country, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all, and He came to Nazareth, where He'd been brought up, as was His custom. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll, and He found the place where it was written. And we won't read it again. We just read it prophetically in the book of Isaiah. But the passage in Luke begins with those words that give the narrative of the Lord Jesus, that He returned in power. He returned in power of the Holy Spirit to the region of Galilee. So the Lord Jesus Christ, He is called the Messiah. He is the anointed one. And what is He anointed with? He was baptized, and as He came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. And the voice was heard that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He was anointed to perform this task of salvation, to bring the good news, to preach to the villages, to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be directed, to go. And His ultimate goal was to go to the cross. His ultimate journey was one of death and burial, but resurrection as well, a glorious resurrection, which even this morning as we remember Him, I'm always reminded that the Apostle Paul says, "This do in remembrance of me. Well, the Lord Jesus said that, but Paul says, we do this in remembrance of him until he come. So we look forward to a time when we'll be together with the Lord. So the Lord had this task by the Holy Spirit that was laid upon him, which he accepted. He said, here am I, send me. But now, I would also say that the Lord has appointed you and me, every one of us who have come to know him as believers, he has appointed us as his agents in this time. He's poured out upon us the Holy Spirit if we've received the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've come to him by faith. Now we have the Holy Spirit too, and we are his agents in this world to the brokenhearted. We are his agents. We are Jesus to the poor. We are Jesus to the captives. We are the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are bound. And we have the message of hope. We have the message of the gospel. We have the light of salvation. We have wonderful assemblies in which we can be together to prepare, to train, to equip, to worship, to fellowship with one another. We have these wonderful places like I'm privileged to be associated with at a college of Emmaus to help prepare and train up young people in the work of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus is the one who anoints and who appoints. Even as we just witnessed the appointing, the reappointing of one here to be an elder. But it's the Holy Spirit who does that work, who prepares the way for that work. And so the Lord Jesus is the anointed one. We are appointed and we are his agents to do that work, but it's only by the power of the Spirit that the work can go on. We read in Psalm 34, verse 18. We read a verse there. I'll just quote it to you. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. We're familiar with that verse. This is a messianic psalm. In Psalm 34, when the Lord says he's near to the brokenhearted, how is the Lord near to the brokenhearted? You know, the Lord himself was more brokenhearted than anyone. One more verse, Psalm 69, verse 20. Turn to that to see the qualifications of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 69, verse 20, when he says in Psalm 34, I'm near to the brokenhearted, in Psalm 69, verse 20, we're familiar with this verse as well. Prophetically speaking, a messianic psalm where the words are written, reproaches have broken my heart so that I'm in despair. I looked for pity and there was none. That was the Lord Jesus. It says, they gave me poison, gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me wine, sour wine to drink. So this passage directly prophesies and speaks of the Lord Jesus. Reproaches, he said, have broken my heart. So if your heart is broken, if your heart has been broken, if your heart is currently broken, know that there is one who has his heart was broken more than yours was. Do you think that the Lord Jesus loved going to the cross? He loved you and me. He loved what the outcome would be. He loved that many sons would be brought to glory. But the Lord did not look forward or love going to that cross. It was a reproach, and it broke his heart. And the end result, it says in that passage in Isaiah 61, I love where it ends, those last verses, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. So to take away, I don't know all the culture and what the representation of the headdress versus ashes, but ashes sound dirty. They sound like something that you take out and you want to bury in the backyard. But they have a beautiful headdress instead. And have garments of praise instead of a faint spirit. Do you ever come here in the morning on the Lord's Day with a faint spirit? Just it's been a tough week and things haven't gone your way and whatever it is, the things that occur to us in the course of our life and the walk of our journey. But the Lord wants to take those away and put praise in our hearts and our lips. And then ultimately, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. So just a few practical things. I think of some very brokenhearted people right in this time, right in this era. I think of the people of Ukraine, for example. And there's much suffering in many places in the world. But that has just been so much in front of us in this last month, as it's been on the news, in the papers, if anybody still reads a paper. Does anybody still read a paper? Old school, I do. But TV, wherever you get your news, right? But to see the horrible suffering that's taking place. Last Monday night, I joined a pod video, whatever. It was Christian Missions in Many Lands, CMML. There were over 350 people, I noticed, on that video call where John Peasland was telling some of the relief efforts that were being organized through assemblies and brethren in Italy and Poland and the different countries around there, bringing trucks of aid and transferring it, and people taking dangerous journeys in vans into the country, and the people streaming out of the country. I just think of the brokenheartedness of those people. When this thing unfolded, I was captivated. I was glued to the TV for days. Evelyn could testify to that. I was just like, what is this? Why is this happening? But there's people. And in the midst of those people, there's a brother, Mark Swaim, who prepared a little booklet. I think it's called The Meaning, or Why Does God Allow War? And they're printing them and they're distributing them. And I think it's very courageous, because I'm not sure I even have a good answer to why does God allow war? Why is this taking place? But, you know, war is depicted in Scripture, is from of old. It's evil, but it doesn't mean it's a new thing. But when we see it in the way that we see it at the moment, we see once again the brokenhearted, and we see once again the impact of that war. It's horrible. It's terrible. But to confront it with godly biblical exposition in some small way. And, you know, perhaps 9 out of 10 people take a booklet like that and throw it aside and say, if only you knew what I'd suffer. Where is God? I don't need this. But in that time, perhaps there's 1 out of 10. Perhaps there's 3 out of 10 who will take that and seek the Lord in a time, seek Him as a refuge. So the courage of this brother to spread the word in this way, to confront the issue, to speak to what Scripture does have to say about the mercy of God and about certainly the unjustness of war, but yet the compassion and the sufferings that Christ Himself went through, the war, if you will, that He suffered at the hands of God to bring us back to God. So I think of that, of those poor people who are suffering. And I hate to use the COVID word, but, you know, we've been through a lot, much less than war, but we see it in the youth at the college. We see the impact of it. We see the brokenness that has affected people as they've been isolated and come out of that and have, you know, been forced to do everything online and been isolated. And perhaps you all have felt that, some yourselves too. That there was this time when you probably couldn't meet and you had to Zoom and you had to be at home and you couldn't go out shopping or whatever the restrictions were here. But it affects people's spirit and their mentality and their vitality. And it has affected probably every one of us in some ways. And so there's brokenhearted people right here. We don't only have to turn the TV on and look at Eastern Europe. The Lord has appointed us as agents in this day, in this time, in this place where we are, to do what we can
to be Jesus to those around us. So I pray that it'll be an encouragement to you and me to do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, what comes before us, to think of the plight of those around us and to serve in any way that we can, the ways in which God may call you. So may the Lord add his blessing to this brief meditation, and we'll just have a word of prayer, and then we'll have a time of fellowship together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the healing that you have brought to us in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we could remember the Lord Jesus this morning in this gathering. We thank you for the precious memories of him and his work and what it means to each of us individually. We pray if there are ones here with broken hearts that are not healed, we pray if there are ones here perhaps even who are uncertain of their salvation, uncertain of their standing before God, we pray even now that the Holy Spirit might work in the hearts, that there might be a conviction and a repentance, and that there might be a vision of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done, and what he is presently doing. So we thank you for this morning, and we pray your blessing on this time of break in Jesus' name. Amen.